Sharing the secrets of anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being, this is Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Hello, this is indeed Green Medicine Radio, and this is Jonathan Wright from Tahoma Clinic in Tukwila. I'm very sorry, folks. I'm having quite the computer malfunction, so messages may need to get relayed to me back and forth and fifth and whatever it is from the board operator when you call in. I'm so sorry, but this computer is just going wild and the other one isn't working. Anyway, welcome back to AM 770 KTTH. This is indeed Green Medicine Radio. For most of the next hour, we'll discuss how health can be improved and maintained and healthy longevity further extended with the use of nature's substances and energies. All this is based on published science and the combined experience of Tahoma Clinic physicians since 1973, and most importantly, the who knows how long the history of nature creation in humans. Thank you to Key Pharmacy, Marine Battle Laboratory, Tahoma Clinic Foundation, the Tahoma Clinic, and Tahoma Clinic Dispensary for continuing to make it possible for us to discuss maintaining good health according to nature's original plan every Saturday. Nature and creation have never used any patent medicines, also called drugs or pharmaceuticals, to build or maintain human bodies. Patent medicines for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or even snacks? Anybody? Hey, have a patent medicine for lunch. Patent medicines can occasionally be very important or even life-saving in some emergencies, but when the emergency is over, a healthy life requires restoring as much as possible the original functions of our bodies. And to do that, we must have the original substances and energies given to us by nature and creation. Nothing else works as well. Now, many listeners to Green Medicine Radio and readers of Green Medicine Newsletter know that Tahoma Clinic has used a treatment for so-called dry macular degeneration, although the back of our eyes is never dry, actually, folks. We all know that. But anyway, it's called dry macular degeneration that improves vision in 70% or more of those who take it. Yes, that treatment works. In the 1980s, my father was one of the first to have this treatment done. His vision went from 20/80 before treatment to 20/30, measured by his own eye doctor and not by me. What follows are testimonials from the individuals who've taken this treatment. I am delighted, which does not mean unlit. I am delighted to provide a testimonial about my experiences with you that I consider to be miraculous. I had a dark spot in the center of my vision that was partially blocking my ability to see and read road signs. I consulted with two eye doctors and then two eye specialists, and after extensive testing, they showed me that I had macular degeneration. There wasn't anything that could be done about it, with the possibility that it would just be getting worse. I then consulted you within weeks of this diagnosis, and I appreciate it very much. You spent 2 hours with me in that visit, in this investigating all the possible solutions. And the reason it took so long, folks, is because there are multiple potential causes for dry macular degeneration. It's not just an eye problem. Yes, it manifests in the eye, but it's not just an eye problem. Within a month after starting IV treatments, my eyes returned to normal and I no longer had vision blockage. When I went back to my eye doctor after a thorough examination, he stated there was no trace left of the macular degeneration and my vision that had been previously correctable to 20/50 was now 20/20. He stated that some things are unexplainable and he had not seen this happen before. I have not had any return of the macular degeneration. And this one's signed by JP. Here's a second testimonial. Regarding the recent treatment of my blindness, macular degeneration, I am closing the following. While taking the intravenous injections, I noticed an improvement in each eye. By the 13th injection, I noticed improvements in various areas. The map in my right eye was less dense, and my left eye was improved. My peripheral vision was not only improved in my right eye, I had none before. In fact, my entire peripheral vision was improved. I could see higher and lower. Color was visible from both eyes, and I could see red and black. They were brighter and clearer. And that one's signed by SD. A third testimonial, knowing the cataracts could be surgically removed to improve my sight was not a big problem, but the macular degeneration sounded like a sentence to blindness. I decided to take the IV treatments as I felt I had nothing to lose. By the ninth treatment, I felt I could see better, objects were clearer, and the colors more brilliant. I found that when going from a dark room to a lighted one, or walking into a dark room and turning on the light, my eye adjusted the light more quickly than before. Television was easier as they were not as strong. As an added bonus, I noticed my hearing had improved some. And we didn't know that could happen. I had to turn the TV volume down several notches as the volume setting I had been using was generally too loud. I feel the treatments have been very beneficial and worth the time and effort. That one is signed by GG. Now, initial treatment is given for dry macular degeneration is given intravenously 3 times weekly for 2 months, followed by at-home self-care with no more intravenous treatment needed. And why isn't any more intravenous treatment? Because, as I said, the cause for macular degeneration is not entirely created in the eye. Yes, the cause comes from elsewhere in the body, or sometimes it doesn't come from elsewhere in the body. This treatment for so-called dry macular degeneration takes time and isn't inexpensive, about the same as stem cell treatments, but it's worth the time and expense to rescue ourselves from the otherwise steady progression towards blindness caused by dry macular degeneration. Well, back to Green Medicine Radio. After the rest of these announcements, we'll take your calls. AM 770's KTTH's phone numbers are 206-421-0770 and 800-465-8770. That's 206-421-0770 and 800-465-8770. And don't forget all those W's and greenmedicineonline.com. That's all those W's and greenmedicineonline.com. Click here for archived shows, then click any year displayed, and you can scroll through to listen to any program or segment of any program you choose. You can also click there for 2019, 2018, and prior programs. There are tabs for topics, hosts, the Tahoma Clinic YouTube channel, the Tahoma Clinic, and a contact and a link tab. Thanks to volunteer webmaster John DeBlazo, who organized and maintained the Green Medicine Online website for years, and then to George Saxton, who maintains this website now. Consider visiting all those W's in greenmedicineonline.com, and why not recommend it to friends with health problems? Finally, I've got to mention that Tahoma Clinic is offering free treatment and free doctor visits for children suffering from asthma between 5 and 15 years of age. Our success rate in eliminating childhood asthma, as well as adult asthma, has been close to 100%. Ever since the first treatment, again in the 1970s. Oh, I keep mentioning the 1970s because that's shortly after the Tahoma Clinic started. This treatment is taught for parents to use at home. Improvement is usually noticed within a week, and elimination of the asthma is usually within 1 or 2 months. If you want an appointment for your child with asthma, or if you happen to be an adult, although the free treatment and free doctor visits are for the kids, I'm sorry, folks. That's the money we got from Tahoma Foundation. Anyway, if you want to get rid of asthma for your child or yourself, call 206-812-9988, 206-812-9988, and make an appointment with a Tahoma Clinic physician for that asthma elimination program. And while we're at it, we usually pay some attention to other health concerns, too. Yep, if there are any. And we hope people don't have a whole heck of a lot of health concerns. Anyway, folks, I'm sorry. These computers here are malfunctioning. I don't know why. Well, maybe I know why, but they are. And so we may need to have your calls relayed to me via phone by the good old board operator. I don't know that yet, but we shall see. And I'm going to shut up now and listen to the music and then get back and listen to you.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
Did you know that vinegar can promote a leaner, longer, and healthier life? Research studies show that vinegar lowers blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar while promoting longevity and weight loss. Yes, that's vinegar. In double-blind tests, 175 research volunteers were divided into three groups of similar weight, body mass index, and weight circumference. Each group was given a 17-ounce beverage containing no vinegar, half ounce of vinegar, or 1 ounce over a 12-week period. The researchers reported body weight, BMI, visceral fat, weight waist circumference and serum triglyceride levels were significantly lower in both vinegar intake groups than in the placebo group. Talk to your doctor about supplementing with vinegar or schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss this and other ways to become your healthiest. To subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter for other interesting health tips, visit greenmedicinenewsletter.com. That's greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477.
Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878.
And now, back to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Last I looked. Oh, okay. Do we have any callers, sir?
We certainly do. We're going to start out with Bruce, who's calling from Squim. He has a question about blood pressure. And Bruce, you're on the air now.
Hi, Bruce.
I'm sorry about this computer malfunction here, sir. My fault.
Okay. Hi. Thank you very much for everything you do. I'm calling about my wife, who is on a tiny dose of beta blocker. It's nabivolol. I forget what the pharmaceutical name for that is, but she had to get on that one rather than the atenolol and the usual beta blockers because it made her tinnitus so bad. Anyway, she has kind of perpetually elevated blood pressure. She's on the tiny dose of beta blocker because she's kind of borderline with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Her blood pressure goes up every night. This morning it was 176 over 104. And she's on an excellent diet, organic, you know, fruit, veggies, grass-fed beef, you know, free-range chicken, all that stuff. I've got her on a number of adaptogens, rhodiola, ashwagandha. She's on resveratrol, NAD+, PQQ, and the list goes on and on. I have her on some Neo-40 to try to boost nitric oxide. But I'm just wondering what other things we might try to get that blood pressure down. It does tend to drop in the evenings. I think it was like 148 over 87 yesterday evening, which is still elevated. But I just wondered if there were any supplements that you could think of that might, you know, hammer that down, because this is getting real frustrating with the way she eats and all the supplements that she's on.
Well, you started down the right track, sir, with trying to boost nitric oxide, because as you apparently know, nitric oxide dilates blood vessels, and when the blood vessels are dilated, the heart doesn't have to pump as hard to push the blood through those vessels. However, have you obtained any nitric oxide test strips, which you can buy at some of the big box drug stores? You can buy them at the Tahoma Dispensary, some of the health food stores. And what one does with those is get them wet first thing in the morning, and depending on the color they turn, and the color chart is on the nitric oxide test strip tube, depending on the color they turn, you can tell whether that nitric oxide production is up there where it should be or If it's not yet, and if it is where it should be, okay, now you know. And if it isn't up there where it should be, sir, then there are additional measures one can take to improve that nitric oxide status. So that's just one thing you could do. Now, the second thing, sir, have you ever heard of an organ outfit, which you can reach online at all those little W's, three of them, I guess, and then EXATEST.com. And you go to their website, and they'll tell you all about checking minerals inside of cells. Now, not minerals in the bloodstream now. Inside of cells. How do they do that? You take a little swab and you scrape the inside of the cheek as if you were doing a DNA test, and you put it into their test kit. I'm sorry, I don't know the details of doing that. And you send it off to Oregon, and they'll tell you whether her intracellular magnesium is optimal, because you probably know this already, but I'm going to repeat it. There is much more magnesium inside of cells than outside of cells. Some minerals, such as sodium, they circulate mostly in the bloodstream, but not magnesium. It's intracellular, and it's the mineral that helps to regulate that blood vessel dilation. And so if there's not enough intracellular magnesium, even if you've got lots of nitric oxide, the blood vessels can't dilate as well as they should. So what do you do then, sir? Well, feeding magnesium or taking magnesium won't help, because years ago, somebody discovered that magnesium must be actually actively transported into cells. No kidding. There's something in the membrane of the cell that grabs the magnesium and pushes it into the cell. And that mechanism is just called the magnesium transporter, but nobody has yet identified it molecularly. So what these genius researchers did years ago, working with experimental animals, is they made them severely magnesium deficient, so their intracellular magnesium was low. And then they found that feeding the magnesium in the food, like green veggies and stuff, if the animals would eat them, didn't really work that well. So one of the bright people there decided to get a syringe and fill it mostly with magnesium. And we put in a little vitamin B6 because it helps the magnesium work better. And it shoved in intravenously as rapidly as it can be, sir. I am not kidding. And I've had that done to me, because I wouldn't do it to somebody else unless I'd tried it to see if I could survive it. And whoever gets this, they turn really hot and they sweat sometimes, and they better be wearing their gym clothes if they don't want to mess up their nice clothes. But what that does is it forces the magnesium into the cells without doing any harm to the individual except a great deal of heat. And funny thing, now the muscles can relax. And remember, muscle relaxation is what it takes to dilate those blood vessels. It's called an intravenous magnesium push. We do those at a clinic, for example, for migraine headaches, because migraine headaches are nothing more than spasms in those blood vessels. And if taking magnesium by mouth won't help, then frequently the magnesium push will. It also works on leg cramps and other crampy, spasmy things. But in her particular case, it may help her. If that is only if her intracellular magnesium isn't good enough, and if it isn't, that exit test will tell you. Sounds like you'd better be working with a physician skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine on all of this, sir, but you certainly have made a really good start.
Okay. I think we will go ahead and do that, since I've tried a number of other things. Can you think of any other supplements, like grapeseed extract or anything that might helps
yes.
to bring it down as well?
Well, only if those blood vessels are willing to dilate, sir. So
okay.
That's why I get those nitric oxide test strips. And then if you're not getting your nitric oxide up where it belongs, and if that's one of the things, and intracellular magnesium isn't the only thing, if it's partly not enough nitric oxide, then there's a supplement you can find in all the natural food stores to home a dispensary. It's called L-citrulline, like citrus. But I know we hear that L-arginine is the real precursor of nitric oxide, but I'm sorry, other researchers have found that when they compare L-arginine to L-citrulline, the L-citrulline actually works better, because the L-arginine, the intestinal cells like it a lot, and they take up a lot of it, and it doesn't get into circulation, whereas the L-citrulline almost all gets into the circulation. And then, oddly enough, the kidneys turn it into the L-citrulline, and now here's our nitric oxide. So that's a thought, sir, if her nitric oxide levels are not optimal.
Okay. Another thing that I did was she was taking some baking soda at night right before bedtime. I switched her to potassium bicarbonate because I thought she might be sensitive to the sodium, and that may be part of what's causing her blood pressure to remain elevated. As far as you know, potassium bicarbonate work as well as sodium bicarbonate for any kind of kidney problems?
I'd have to look that one up, sir. I have not read any research on comparing potassium and sodium bicarbonates. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. You've given me a lot to go with, so I appreciate it, as usual.
Well, sorry about that, sir, but you are on a good track checking into all these things. Nice going.
Okay, thank you very much, then.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry these computers are still not working, folks, so we're going to have to relay your questions through the board operator. Thank you, board operator.
You're welcome. And we have another call, actually, because we have plenty of time before the next break. We're going to go to Harley, who's coming to us all the way from Twin Falls, Idaho. How about that?
All right.
Yeah, I know, right? She has a question about a friend of hers regarding heart concerns. So, Harley, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Wright.
Hello, ma'am.
Hi. In my travels, I met someone that has Parkinson's. He was just diagnosed in June, and his left hand is shaking. And I was wondering if you had any protocols that I could share with him.
Okay. I haven't worked with anyone with Parkinson's for years, but when I was working with him, and this is more back in the 80s and 90s, one of the things that we focused on is something in the body called the dopamine pathway. You've heard of that?
Yes.
Dopamine is an excitatory neurotransmitter in there. And there is a botanical used in Ayurvedic medicine for a couple thousand years now, which is quite a safe botanical, unless you're allergic to it, which is kind of rare. In fact, I'd say it's very rare. Maybe 1 in 50, 1 in 100 people has an adverse reaction, and even then it doesn't kill anybody. It's called Macuna, M-A-C-U-N-A. And then the next name is an interesting part. It's Prurien, P-U-R-U-R-I-E-N-S, Macuna Pruriens. And the reason it happens to be called that is it also, for some of us, increases what people politely call prurient interest, and other people call it sex drive. Increasing dopamine does that. But getting back to Parkinson's, if we increase dopamine in Parkinson's usually does better, ma'am.
Okay, the second spelling was P-E-R-U-R-I-N-E-S?
Well, I'll do it again. P-R-U-R. P-R-U-R-I-E-N-S.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll give that information to him. Take care.
Yes.
Thank you for your work, and bye.
Yes, ma'am. And by the way, the company that I think does the best job with that is called AYUSH Botanicals. They raise all of their stuff over in the near the Himalayan mountains in India. And then part of the family lives over here. And they're actually their company's headquartered right in Seattle. So you can probably find it locally if you want to.
Okay, that's AYUSH Botanicals.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so if we got anybody else waiting there, good old board op will tell me.
Certainly. We're going to go to Mercer Island, where Rick has a question about therapeutic blood donations. Rick, you're on Green Medicine Radio.
Hi,
Hello,
Rick. You go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Wright. I've really enjoyed your radio show. It's fantastic. And your newsletter. And you've mentioned recently about giving blood and donating blood as a way of lowering your risk for stroke and heart attack.
You bet.
And I think it's a great thing. I unfortunately am probably in the class of many people who can't give blood. I lived in England during a period they had mad cow disease, and because of that, the Red Cross and the other places around town will not take the blood. So I'm kind of in a tough spot, and I thought, well, maybe you would know where somebody could go to maybe therapeutically donate blood without a doctor's prescription, or even if Tahoma Clinic does something like that.
Oh, yes, sir. We do that quite frequently. Our IV room, intravenous therapy room, does that quite frequently, that is. Now, I happen to believe in doing to myself what I'm recommending to other people. So I go do that, the therapeutic phlebotomy, as it's called, now and again. And what I'm looking for is to get my blood thinner so it doesn't abrade the arteries. And by the way, there's a terrific book out there called The Origin of Atherosclerosis, not arteriosclerosis, but atherosclerosis, by a cardiologist who's no longer with us, darn it. His name is Kenneth. K-E-N-S-E-Y. And what he explains is that the real cause of that atherosclerosis or arteriosclerosis, depending on which term you like, the real cause is actually thick blood abrading the inside of the arteries, and abrasion causes inflammation, and so the body pastes cholesterol all over them, just like a plaster. Cholesterol is nothing more than the paste to cover the abrasion, and that, I'm sorry, that narrows the blood vessel, and it's just not at all good for us, sir. So anyway, we do therapeutic phlebotomy at Tahoma Clinic, and we're not the only ones. I'm not trying to sell you Tahoma Clinic, because many of the naturopaths in our general area do therapeutic phlebotomy too, and since you haven't donated the blood, it's not going to be given to somebody else, but it'll be given back to you. And let me tell you about this. I know some of you heard this before, but early on in my career, since I had a lot of OBGYN training in obstetrics and gynecology, I helped mommies deliver their babies at home. And one of those places I went to had the most beautiful rose bushes outside I had seen. Yes, it was summertime, but they were gorgeous rose bushes. And so I asked the lady, how did you get those beautiful rose bushes? And, you know, we could talk in between contractions, and her kids were off with Grandma, but Dad was still there. And she says, oh, well, you know what? After I delivered each of my kids at home, I had the placenta put in each in a hole under a rose bush, and that's what happened. Well, what I found, sir, is if we put it under plants, not just rose bushes, but any plant, that is the blood, wow, they really grow good.
You'll get those nice blood red roses, yeah.
There you go, sir. I don't know if they're blood red, but whatever color they're supposed to be, they really shine.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Dr. Wright. That's nice to know that service is offered down there. I'll go ahead and give your office a call.
Okay, and one other thing, and thank you for calling and reminding everybody, and that is that a study over in Finland, and this was men only, about 2,800 men, found that the ones who donated blood three or four times a year had 80% less heart attack and stroke than the ones who didn't, and these are all guys over 60. And then another study done right here in the United States found a 45% risk reduction. Not bad, huh?
Fantastic.
Yup, and I don't know why we don't hear about that, except that nobody's out there patenting blood donation, are they?
Yep, that's it.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Mistakes here. Sure enough. All right. Have we got anybody else waiting, or should we hear the music, or what? My fault. These computers just aren't working.
Have you heard about Tea Builder? Tea Builder contains 10 ingredients, each chosen because research studies reported that 9 of Tea Builder's 10 ingredients stimulates men's own bodies to produce more testosterone and or free testosterone. What does the 10th ingredient do? That 10th ingredient is nature's original molecular version of Viagra. Of course, Viagra is not only more potent, but also patentable, more expensive, and has potential adverse effects. Tea Builder, which helps men's bodies make more testosterone, is a safe, effective alternative, and it's not pricey. A 30-day supply, one bottle of 150 capsules, is $29.95. If your entire order is over $35, your shipping is free. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 for T-Builder, the formulation that helps men's bodies make more testosterone. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Dr. Jonathan Wright's SunPal is a multivitamin, antioxidant, mineral, and amino acid formulation comprised of nutrients that exert a positive effect on the structure and function of skin. It significantly reduces the risk of skin cancer. This all-natural, research-based supplement was created based on the work of Neva Shapira, Ph.D. Dr. Shapira pointed out in her brilliant article in Nutrition Reviews that the melanoma skin cancer rate in Greece was less than the melanoma skin cancer rate in Australia. Both countries provide plenty of sunshine, so why the difference? Many of the nutrients in the Greek diet, which aren't present in the Australian diet, significantly reduce the risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. SunPal contains the majority of these missing ingredients. Dr. Wright supports this belief, so go ahead and enjoy the outdoors again this summer and every time you're outside. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. 1-888-893-6878.
If you want a better tan this summer, you need to check out Dr. Jonathan Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. It's loaded with amino acids, vitamins, and copper that increases the body's ability for melanin production. Even the fairest skinned people will be able to tan to a noticeable degree. Take advantage of your body's own natural tanning chemistry to prolong the length of time you spend in the sun before you start to turn pink. The latest science-determined nutrients will offer skin support and allow you to develop a healthy, natural glow. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. That's 1-888-893-6878. Dr. Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. Order now by calling 1-888-893-6878. That's 1-888-893-6878. Fair skin folks, this is your ray of sunshine. Tan Pal. Call 1-888-893-6878.
You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
All right, we're back here on Green Medicine Radio with Dr. Wright. We're going to get to our next caller here, and it's Bonnie from Edmonds. She has a question about a shingle shot and a COVID shot, what the relation is there. And Bonnie, you are on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Wright.
Hi, Bonnie. What's up?
Well, I got a shingle shot 1st of December, and they said wait up to 2 months. So in February 1st, I need my second shingle shot. And in the meantime, the corona shot is out, and my partner keeps wanting me to get one, and I'm saying, I'm not sure I should combine them so close together. What is your opinion?
Well, first thing I want any vaccine manufacturer to do, and most of them won't do it, but the first thing I want any vaccine manufacturer to do is to disclose what the adjuvants in their vaccines are. Now, in case you've never heard of an adjuvant, adjuvants are additives that have nothing to do with the vaccination process, other than maybe acting as preservatives or something like that. But insofar as the adjuvants protecting against the virus, that's rare. So I want to know what those adjuvants are. Why do I want to know that? Because one of the adjuvants is sometimes put into things as aluminum, and I'm not sure I want an aluminum shot, even if it is only a small amount. And other observers have noticed, and I do look for all different opinions, and this one opinion notices that the age of autism started shortly after we started saturating everybody with vaccines. And they wonder if there isn't a connection to that. Now, they haven't said, oh, for sure there's a connection, but you just check out the records of the 1920s and the 1930s and look for how many autistic kids there were.
Yeah.
It's nothing compared to what there is today. And the last thing that I cannot understand why the Congress, which in this case was definitely the opposite of progress, did this, why Congress did this. They established the United States Vaccine Court. And if you think you've been injured by a vaccine, you can go to the vaccine court. And guess who you collect money from if the vaccine injured you, if it's decided it injured you from?
I don't know.
The taxpayers! And the vaccine companies don't have to pay a penny. Now, that is the way things are in our country.
Yeah.
The tax court pays for vaccine injuries. If you can prove a vaccine injury, it pays for it from taxpayer money, not from vaccine company money.
Mm.
I don't like. You can look that one up, ma'am.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. So unless they will fully disclose their adjuvants and pay for their own mistakes, like most pharmaceutical companies have to. They get sued for causing ovarian cancer. They pay. I'm very skeptical. I haven't saying I got proof now, but I'm very skeptical because of those things.
Okay, but so do you think there's aluminum then in the shingle shot?
They won't tell us. They won't tell us. They refuse to disclose the listed adjuvants.
Okay, and I know aluminum has been found in the brains of biopsies of Alzheimer's patients. So anyway, I need to go back, I guess, and get the second shot, and maybe I should just wait on the corona?
Oh, ma'am. If you were either at Tahoma Clinic or another clinic that does screening of potential treatments for people, we could tell you whether that particular treatment was more or less likely to give you problems.
Uh-huh.
The screening is something invented by a German physician by the name of Voll, V-O-L-L, and it checks along the acupuncture meridians for changes in energy flow. And if we get an adverse change of energy flow, we know that's not good for a person. But if there's no change in energy flow, then it's probably okay for that person. But you could get some screening done that way. If you could get the material that's proposed to be used, then we screen you against the material and see if it looks like it's okay for you.
Okay, so at least I'm right in not getting too many vaccinations, right?
Very likely, ma'am, because, again, I don't know why the taxpayers have to pay for vaccine injury, and I don't know why the vaccine companies will not release their listing of adjuvants.
Okay. Well, that, I guess it's going to have to be up to me if I can't find somebody to check that out. But the other little quick question I have is my partner, a male, 62, has night sweats off and on. And I know women who have night sweats, you know, because of their hormones, but could it also be for a male?
It's possible. It's less likely, but it is possible. Now, here's why. You probably know that in both genders, estrogen is metabolized from testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means for us guys is us guys always have some estrogen in us, certainly not as much as younger women, but we do have some estrogen in us, and there must be, nature must have a reason for some of that estrogen in men, otherwise it wouldn't be here, be there. And that's been there ever since the human race got started on the planet, which is who knows how many hundreds of thousands of years
ago.
So anyway, it's possible that testosterone could help simply by being metabolized into estrogen, because estrogen is usually what causes, lack of estrogen is usually what causes hot flashes for ladies. I don't know about for men. Again, I've not seen research on that exactly.
Okay. Point. Well, it's a possibility, I guess. But anyway, I do appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
And thank you for calling, ma'am. And I'm sorry that we're having to relay everything again today. This time it's my fault, so I'll hope it doesn't happen next week.
Wouldn't you say it's the computer's fault, though?
Oh, yes, it's the computer's fault, but it's my computer.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go to Jan in Des Moines. She has a question about colitis, and Jan, you're on.
Hello, Jan. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Hi, yes. I'm so grateful to talk to you, Dr. Wright. It's regarding our son, and since he was 19, he has struggled with the ulcerative colitis condition.
Uh-huh.
And so right at this point, in the past year, he's had two flare-ups, and he is on Remicade and azathioprine, and he's just getting that to the right level, you know, according to the GI clinic at Virginia Mason. So how would you help him to reduce some of these flare-ups?
First thing I would try is the application of something that is in the scientific literature, and that is that all of the cells that line our colons, and that's both men and women, it doesn't matter, all of those cells are not let's underline not, dependent on blood sugar, otherwise known as glucose, to maintain their energetics and function. Colon cells happen to be dependent on a substance called butyrate, B-U-T-Y-R-A-T-E. It's a so-called short-chain fatty acid. And I don't think it's just me. I'm sure there's other doctors in natural medicine who know that. And I've had a number of people, just for example, I had a telephone call with a woman in New York City roughly 3 or 4 months ago. And she said, you know, since I started taking all that butyrate, I'm not having any more colon problems. And she'd been having them for years, ma'am. Because all we had done is had her feed her colon cells what nature wants them to get to stay healthy. And it's in all the natural food stores, the Toma dispensary, and I haven't looked in the big box drug stores yet. But usually one can find what's called calcium magnesium butyrate. It has, and it's spelled B-U-T-Y-R-A-T-E, and it has a little bit of calcium, a little bit of magnesium, and a whole bunch of this butyrate stuff in it. Now, can anybody get hurt with calcium magnesium butyrate or with butyrate itself? Not that I know about, but when I'm working with a really sensitive individual, I'll make sure to tell them, you make sure to get everything screened before you start swallowing it, just to make sure that you're not going to have an adverse effect, or if you do have an adverse effect, it's just a small one. So anyway, ma'am, I would look for that butyrate because that's what the colon cells really, really like.
Thank you. And Dr. Wright, we are going to go into the Tahoma Clinic this next week, our son and myself, and see Dr. Benjamin. And
Dr. Benjamin Magoon, yes.
Yes, and right now, the most recent is in November, our son was doing really well. His hematocrit was 39. And then he goes into a flare very, very quickly. And so in order to keep him from going down that quickly, we're just so interested in hearing what Dr. Benjamin has to say. And thank you for that butyrate. We will definitely follow up on that.
Yes,
he's taking Ferricol. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned vitamin C on a past program, that the iron and the vitamin C have to be taken together.
It helps the iron get in better. You're absolutely right. Now, how old is your son?
He is 20.
All right. Now, a 20-year-old male usually has a better hematocrit than 39, ma'am. You probably know that. And 39 is right smack in the between the median and the upper end of a menstruating woman's range, and none of us guys menstruate. So what's his iron doing down there in a menstruating woman's range?
Yeah, it's because he's in a flare, and his ulcers are bleeding.
There you go.
And yeah, in his colon. Yeah.
That woman I was telling you about from New York City had also told me at that point that all her bleeding had gradually stopped. It didn't stop the first day she started butyrate, but as she continued taking it, the bleeding slowed down and stopped.
And then the last question was, how would you coordinate with our medical doctor at the clinic? How would you just have us tell them of the procedures and...
I don't think it would hurt, because if they look this up online at what's called PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, which is the archive of the National... National Library of Medicine, excuse me, I forgot that temporarily. They will probably find articles about butyrate and colon health.
PubMed.
Yeah, PubMed. All the W's and PubMed. .com, and then you do a little search, you put in some words into the place, and those words appear anywhere in the title of an article. So I would probably first just put in butyrate and colon and see what happens.
Thank you so much. We're really excited to work with Dr. Benjamin and work through this for a son. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And thank you for calling, ma'am, and get the word out about how nature likes to do things. Okay, let's see. Is it time for that music? Yes, I hear the music.
If
you're looking for relief from stress or digestive issues, call Dr. Magoon of the Tahoma Clinic.
We all fear what we don't know, and trying new things can be scary, but it's important to be willing to make the changes. Like when it comes to food allergies, people are reluctant to move away from their comfort foods, even though that could be the source of their troubles. It's my job to support them through that transition. I see a lot of people with digestive issues, gas, bloating, acid reflux, and recently we've seen an increase in stress and anxiety, and I've been able to help people get relief from that as well. Don't give up hope. We have so many options available to help you feel better. And I'm part of a team of doctors with over 100 years of experience, and we can help you. I do my best to look beyond the medical chart and listen to what the person has to say. And hopefully, I can motivate people to make positive changes in their lives.
If you're ready for a positive change, call Dr. Magoon, 206-812-9988, 206-812-9988, at tahomaclinic.com.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
The Tahoma Clinic is a premier holistic medical clinic established in 1973 by Dr. Jonathan V. Wright. Dr. Wright is a well-known pioneer in natural medicine, researcher, author, and speaker. The Tahoma Clinic has provided evidence-based natural treatments for thousands of patients. Located between Seattle and Tacoma, just 15 minutes from SeaTac Airport, the Tahoma Clinic provides a multifaceted approach to healthcare. Recommended therapies include bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, customized vitamin, mineral, amino acid, essential fatty acid, and botanical therapies. They offer non-invasive thermography screening for breast health, treatment for dry macular degeneration, therapies to support brain health, the Heidelberg Digestive Analysis to determine levels of stomach acid, plus advanced naturopathic care. They invite you to call 206-812-9988 to schedule an appointment or ask your specific questions. The Tahoma Clinic is looking forward to assisting you on your path to wellness.
Sharing the secrets to anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being. You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Welcome back to Green Medicine Radio. We'll take more of your calls now. We're going to start out with Chris from Kent. He has a question about asthma relief for adults. Chris, take it away.
Yes, Dr. Wright, I've read your book regarding the treasury of natural cures that touches on the fact of asthma relief to some extent. I'm just wondering if that protocol has changed at all, or are you still using the B6 and the magnesium for relief?
Actually, sir, for asthma, the B12 is the principal reliever and not the B6.
Oh.
If that's in the Treasury of Natural Cures, then I made a mistake because the majority of the studies on that situation were from the late 1930s and the early 1950s. And the conclusion of one author who reviewed the studies was that the B12 didn't work. But what he failed to notice is that the bigger the dose of B12 that was given, the better the treatment worked. And the smaller the dose, the less well it worked. And so we've applied it in that way, particularly since nobody can find any articles showing that anybody ever died of a vitamin B12 overdose. We've applied it that way, and it has worked dramatically well for the large majority of people with asthma. Now, it does need to be injected. Why? Because vitamin B12 is absorbed in a mechanism different from anything else, or almost anything else, I should say. Namely, once it's digested out of the food supply, there is a factor that's made by the same cells that make stomach acid, the very same cells, and some silly person named it intrinsic factor, who the heck knows why. What it should have been named, in my opinion only, is vitamin B12 absorption factor. Because without that factor, the vitamin B12, we can swallow all we want to and it just lands in the toilet. But if our bodies are making enough intrinsic factor, as it's called, then the intrinsic factor grabs onto the vitamin B12 and pulls it into the body. And there we are. Which is why, if you check with any nursing home and ask any of the attendants, what's the injection you guys get, or the ladies get the most of? Oh, it's vitamin B12. Why isn't it B6 or B1 or B3? Because B12 must be injected unless your stomach cells are making enough acid and enough intrinsic factor. And by the time we get to be old enough in a nursing home, most of our stomachs, just like the Mayo Clinic proved in their publication of 1932, most of their stomachs have undergone a substantial decline in making stomach acid. And when that happens, we don't make intrinsic factor either. And that's why they got to inject the stuff. Nobody goes around giving injections of vitamin B3. It just gets absorbed, but not B12. So just, and I will shut up in a moment after telling you about a gentleman who came in a wheelchair. He's in his late 60s, early 70s. He's wheezing away. Explained all this to him. He got 10 cc's of B12 intravenously 3 times a week for 2 weeks. And guess what? His asthma disappeared. And then it started to come back, so he gave him some more B12. And now he just gives himself B12 at home, and that's that. And he doesn't have asthma.
So there's not much more than, I mean, is there anything more other than the B12 that would help the situation?
The B12 is a really big deal, sir. No, the B12 is the really big deal. And if you've got asthma, let's go over to England, to the hospital for children over there. And what was found by Dr. George Bray is that after working with a whole bunch of asthmatic children, 80% of them didn't have enough acid in their tummies, sir. So they weren't making intrinsic factor, so they couldn't fill the B12 in. And these are kids. Mm-hmm. It is possible for a kid not to have their stomach working properly. One of the big culprits for that happens to be milk.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I took my son to you at 6 years old, and we did a Heidelberg on him. And You made that same mention back then. It was hard for me to believe that such a young person would not develop enough stomach acid to digest.
That's right.
Amazing, it is.
Milk and dairy will do that. Some other researchers prove that. People who are hypersensitive to milk, it'll just destroy their stomach's capability of making acid, even if they're 6 years old.
I see. Interesting. Really interesting. So along with the B12 is the magnesium injection part of the process, or just the B12?
Only a small part, sir. Usually, I wouldn't say every time, but usually the whole thing can be cleared with a series of B12 injections. The reason we did the 10 cc's intravenously is because he was having such a hard time breathing. Usually, we don't have to do 10 cc's, and it can be given intramuscularly.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, interesting. One other thought, another question regarding, we talked about this maybe a month ago, regarding a constant itch that you can't seem to satisfy. We made mention about increasing the vitamin D3 levels, and sure. I've done that, and I don't see any change at all. I'm just wondering if there's something else missing to not satisfy an itch, especially on the back.
Okay, are you seeing anything or just feeling an itch, or you're not seeing any redness or any?
No, if I continue to itch, if I continue to scratch, of course I could draw blood.
Sure.
And I have to tone that down. And the only thing that really soothes it more than anything temporarily is heat. Hot water running on it does soothe it to a small extent. And it's not just necessarily the back. I notice other areas of my body will also itch, and I'll just scratch and scratch and scratch, and then I have to ignore it. Then somehow I can deal with it by just ignoring it over a period of time. But I could get in the mode of scratching, and it would just make it worse.
Okay, sir. Now, I'd probably have to look into that a little further, but it certainly does sound as if you're hypersensitive to something or another. And we do have the equipment at Tahoma Clinic, and possibly other doctors around the area do too, to do sensitivity screening without having to use needles and injections. It's equipment, as I think I mentioned earlier in the program, invented by a German physician by the name of Zoll, which is pronounced in German Voll. And what it tells us is if a person's hypersensitive to just about anything that is put, let's just say within proximity of them, sir. It doesn't even have to be taken into the body to tell us whether the person's hypersensitive to it. And since that is frequently what causes itching, namely we're sensitive to something, you might see if you can find a place that has the equipment to check you for that.
Sensitivity, okay. All right. Okay, very good. Thank you
for
your time.
All right, sir. Well, you're welcome, and thank you for calling.
All right, let's get to our next caller here.
Let's do that.
Awesome. Sorry about that little silence there. We're going to go to Orting, talk with Barbara, who has a question about donating blood. Barbara, you are on the air.
Hey.
Hi, Barbara. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Well, I was a little concerned about my older sister. She is 87, and she's been donating blood for many years, but she donates blood every other week. And when she doesn't donate blood, she donates plasma. Is that harmful to her body?
Probably not, as long as she maintains her hemoglobin and hematocrit within the range of a menstruating woman. Now, when you go to the blood bank, usually they poke you in the finger with a needle. At least they do that to me when I've been there. And you can always ask them, because what they're doing with that blood that they poked is checking the hematocrit, which just means the percent of red blood cells in the total blood volume. They're checking that, and they're checking the hemoglobin. And you can always ask them, well, what was my hematocrit? What was my hemoglobin? And then, if you're within the range of a menstruating woman, why, you're not harming a thing. If you're below the range of a menstruating woman, excuse me, you're giving blood too often. And if you're above the range of a menstruating woman, which most of us guys are, of course, then we actually have extra risk for heart attack and stroke, ma'am. So when we go there and they poke you in the finger, ask.
Okay. I'm so thin myself, I figure I wouldn't hardly have any blood to donate.
Well, you may and you may not, ma'am. What's your height and weight?
I don't even know how much I weigh. But I'm
Let's just take the word so. Oh, you go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I just was going to say I'm 5'6", but I haven't weighed myself for quite some time, so I have no idea how much I weigh.
Do you ever get dizzy?
No.
Do you ever get dizzy, ma'am?
Huh?
Do you ever get dizzy for no good reason?
No.
That's good. Because what I'm thinking is, particularly when a woman is 5'6" and yet she describes herself as thin, sometimes, and I did say sometimes, I did not say close to 100%, but I did say sometimes, her adrenal glands are getting a little bit weak, ma'am. And when the adrenal glands get weak, I'm sorry, but just for example, back in the time of the Spanish flu, young men in the army who died of the Spanish flu were found to all have their adrenal glands destroyed because the adrenal glands couldn't handle the stress. And the same thing would probably happen.
Because what did you say?
The adrenal glands couldn't handle the stress of the Spanish flu, and these were young men in their 20s, and their adrenals were destroyed.
And
so
what's good for your adrenal glands?
Quite a number of things, ma'am. Now, to start with, we just don't get informed, but there's a wonderful book on all of this that tells us about the mineral content of fetal tissues. And what it tells us is that, oh, my goodness, a fetal female adrenal gland has 14 times as much chromium as adult female, and adult and fetal male has 6 times as much chromium. So obviously chromium is quite important to women's adrenals. Now the next thing that's found in relatively large percentages in adrenal glands is good old ascorbate, otherwise known as vitamin C, but in the animal kingdom it's called ascorbate. Then there's a B vitamin called pantothenic acid, or B5, and that helps to support the adrenals. And lastly, since I'm advised that program is going to end soon, there's something out there called ashwagandha, which has been used in Ayurvedic medicine for years to help us fight stress, and it helps support the adrenals. So there we are, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I haven't called in for quite a while now. Since you got a different telephone number, I scribbled it down and I didn't call the right number.
Oh, dear. Well, ma'am, you can hear the music, so thank you so much for calling, and we'll be back at this next week, I hope, and I hope my silly old computer starts working again.